Gutierrez, Ms. Lowenthal.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please the court. I'm Cheryl Lowenthal. I represent Daniel Gutierrez. There are three issues. There are two issues raised in the brief and one that was very late filed. And so we will.
Yeah, the one that was late filed, it seems to me, is just really has nothing to do with this case because Dupree involves inchoate offenses under the sentencing guidelines. Your client was not sentenced under the guidelines. Your sentence, your client received a statutory mandatory minimum sentence. The enhancement was by virtue of 841C, providing that if you have a previous felony drug offense conviction, that there's an enhancement. Your client had that. Dupree has nothing to do with that. That's what the government said too in its response. Is there something I'm missing?
If I may just say that the government filed a notice of 404B that said he had a prior conviction for conspiracy to distribute and import cocaine. Under the stipulation of facts that was filed, that docket entry for the notice of 404B was docket entry number 28. There was a stipulation of facts at the outset of the trial at docket number 58, and that says the defendant was convicted of a serious drug felony in Central District of California conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute. And finally, I would draw your attention to the defendant's, oh no, that's wrong.
None of what you tell me has anything to do with Dupree, right?
But there was an 851 enhancement filed.
I know, but Dupree isn't about an 851 enhancement.
Oh, well, in that case, the court has a...
Dupree's about the guidelines.
Very well. As I was looking through the documents on Saturday...
Okay.
I kept seeing, you know, the 851 enhancement, and I... And then I saw, you know, Dupree about inchoate offenses and conspiracy and attempt, and I just thought that I had better raise it.
Okay.
But if, you know, if the court, if that's
okay, let's look to your other two issues.
Understood. Now, the main issue was the motion to suppress the evidence and the statements made by Mr. Gutierrez when his 18-wheeler truck was stopped on a Florida highway by a trooper, Florida Highway Patrol trooper.
It seemed to me the problem with the argument that you had made about the motion to suppress was it was premised on a misunderstanding of the record. So as I read your brief, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but as I read your brief, you were arguing that all the steps for the officer for the traffic stop were completed at 9:01, but the district court found that that's when it started, not when it ended. And it seemed to me that the record would allow the district court to have made that finding.
It was my understanding from reading the record that he had finished writing the, and it was not even a traffic ticket, it was a warning,
right,
and that he had finished with that warning by 9:01, and it was not until 9:12 that the drug dog arrived on the scene to do a...
But the district court said it started at 9:01. That's the problem. And if that's the case, then I don't know what we do with your argument.
Well, but I don't know how long it should take to, if he had determined that he was going to write a warning, and if, and I know that the reason that the stop was extended until the drug dog could arrive was because the driver's license was from one state.
Right.
Truck was registered in another.
Right.
And the trailer with hauling the cars was registered in yet another state, and so the officers, the troopers' reasoning was that he had to check three separate registrations and licenses. And of course, everything is computerized now, and it really, you wouldn't really expect that it would take that long for him to get that information right back. They have all the computers right in their patrol cars.
Well, but of course, the problem you have is, one, the trooper testified that he had to manually input the information you just made reference to precisely because the license, the registration, the license was in one state, not Florida, and the tags were in two additional states, Maine and California. And that's why it took him so long. But how do you get around the square finding by the district court? The district court writes in the order denying the motion to suppress, quote, Gutierrez suggests that Trooper Lanis intentionally delayed running this information in order to facilitate the sniff, but I credit Trooper Yanis' testimony that this was not so, and that running the information took longer than normal because of the out-of-state license and registration. Given that finding, don't you have to show that was clear error in order to sustain your argument on suppression?
Well, yes, Your Honor, but it is the position of the defense that perhaps the judge erred in his finding. That would be my best argument to that. And if you want to proceed.
Can I ask something a little more fundamental? It goes to the questions that you've been answered, but just backing up a little bit, I just want to be clear about the arguments you're making in your brief about the extension. So as I understand your brief, you make some argument about the stop itself and whether there was reasonable suspicion for the stop. And then secondly, assuming there was a reasonable suspicion for the stop, you make the argument that it was unreasonably extended, applying the Rodriguez line of cases. And the reason, I want to summarize and then let me know. And the reason, as I understand it, are twofold for the extension argument. One is, as the Chief Judge asked you, this concept that the warning ended at 9:01 rather than started at 9:01. And secondly, that it shouldn't have taken that long in order to plug in the information such that the drug dog was there. Have I summarized your argument fairly and correctly?
That is correct. And if I may address the reason for the stop to begin with, the reason was that a light on the rear of the auto hauling trailer was backwards and obstructed a portion of the license plate. Well, in the motion to suppress, as an exhibit, defense counsel filed a photograph, a dash cam photograph from the trooper's car that showed that indeed it was not, the license tag was not obstructed, and if obstructed, it was at most a partial part of one digit. I mean, there are cases where when two digits were obstructed by a light, then that was a valid reason to stop. But here, if it was obstructed at all, which it's not shown on the video, then it was a part of one digit, and whether that would be sufficient.
Didn't the district court, this goes to Judge Marcus's question, but didn't the district court credit the officer's testimony that from his point of view, when he was viewing it as both when the truck passed and as he was following the truck on eastbound on I-10, that from his point of view, the dangling light did obstruct one of the numbers in such a way that he was not able to tell what that number was?
That it was the finding, yes.
Was that finding supported by at least the officer's testimony that was credited?
Yes.
Then how are we, goes to the same question, is how can we find clear error where that's the state of the record?
If that is indeed the state of the record, then you are correct.
Let me ask you a question. One of the facts that you made reference to in this record to support the claim that it took too long to do this was that the officer got out of the patrol car when he was writing up this warning and walked up to the front of the truck to look at the DOT number, and that was not necessary. The district court said that it may not have been necessary, but it was part and parcel of the kind of safety inspections that officers generally make. And if you look at the leading cases on it, wouldn't this be looking at the DOT number, the transportation number for a truck be consistent with an officer trying to make sure that the protocols of safety were followed?
Probably, but it was such an insignificant basis for the stop. And I would submit that perhaps that was not all necessary, and it was because he refused, when the officer wanted to look inside the cab of the truck and Mr. Gutierrez said no, I would submit that he delayed things long enough for the drug dog to arrive. If I am incorrect, I will defer to the record and to the court's findings. And finally, if I may say, the motion in limine to exclude the government's expert, his testimony was esoteric, it was confusing, it was not related. The issue was whether or not the amount of drugs found in the cab of the truck in the little toolbox behind the seat was a personal use amount or whether it was a distribution amount, and that depended upon the person who might be using it and what his how acclimated he had become to the drugs, and that question was never answered, and Dr. Trekkie was not able to answer that.
And his testimony about the effect of the drugs on an individual could go to a jury's understanding of what amount would be necessary for personal use versus distribution, right?
Yes, but there was never, they never ascertained the quantity of fentanyl in the tablets. And so without that information, how could anyone know?
Okay, Ms. Lowenthal, we're going to hear from Ms. Acosta.
Good morning. Winifred Acosta on behalf of the United States, the appellee. May it please the court. Your Honors, with regards to the first issue, the motion to suppress, as we've heard, there was reasonable suspicion for the stop. The tag was obstructed. The district court did credit the credibility of Trooper Yanez as to whether or not he, as to the duration of the stop and why it took so long. I think that he properly explained that there were three states involved. The driver's license of the driver was out of Arizona. The truck's tag was from California. And then the trailer tag was out of Maine. And Maine had a complicated classification system. So there was reasonable suspicion. Then as part of the analysis, the next question is whether or not there was any unlawful extension of the stop. And it's the government's position, and the record shows that there was no unlawful extension. The tasks performed were tied to the mission of the stop, and therefore there was any delay was connected to how long it was taking the officer to process the warning.
Yeah, I read the Gutierrez's brief to be premised on a misunderstanding of the record, and that is what happened at 9:01. Was that the completion of the officer's task or the start of it?
That was the start.
Court found that it was the start. It seemed to me the record supports that. That kind of takes care of that argument. What about the drug expert?
Yes, Your Honor. On issue number two, this was clearly a weight case. It wasn't a run-of-the-mill case where you have a number of drug paraphernalia such as scales and baggies. So it was important for the jury to hear about the dosages as well as the effect on the human body. That was a relevant issue. And the testimony provided by Dr. Trekkie the probative value of that testimony was not substantially outweighed by any unfair prejudice.
I understood it. He testified about what specific quantities would do in terms of effect on a human, right?
Yes, Your Honor, that is correct. And the district court conducted a Daubert hearing and considered the factors of Frazier The district court considered the competency of Dr. Trekkie. The record indicates he was clearly competent. His methodology was based on science. It was tested through the DEA tox program, as well as by other toxicologists, as well as this information was helpful to the jury in deciding whether or not there was a distribution quantity. Any other questions?
I don't have any, Mrs. Costa. I don't think anyone on the also on the panel does either. So unless you have something you want to tell us.
No, Your Honor. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Ms. Lowenthal, you have 4 minutes.
I may not need 4 minutes, but as to the methamphetamine, Mr. Gutierrez was a long-time drug user. He had been in rehab, and when he was in rehab, he really enjoyed being able to be in control of his self and his mind. He liked it, but once he got out, he went back to using drugs. So he would probably have a higher tolerance to a certain quantity of methamphetamine and or fentanyl.
Ms. Lowenthal, there's no doubt that that's a factor that could be considered by the jury in rebutting the expert's testimony, but how does that go to the ultimate gatekeeping function of the admissibility of that testimony? In other words, is it not at least relevant to a jury that somebody, that the general person, the general human being, has a toxicity limit and a limit of where they will die if they take this amount, and the defendant had in his possession far in excess of what that toxicity level would be?
Well, I'm not sure that the amount of fentanyl was...
Well, you just switched it on me there. Let's talk about the methamphetamine first. So
the meth, yes. There was methamphetamine. There was a pipe, not any other drug paraphernalia, but a glass pipe was found with the methamphetamine. And Dr. Trekkie's testimony was confusing, complex. He was a very qualified. He was a DEA pharmacologist. He was very qualified, but his testimony was just too esoteric for the jury to really comprehend. That would be my argument. And I thank the court.
Thank you, Ms. Lowenthal. You were court appointed, and we want to thank you for accepting that appointment.